Hello, excuse me, hello, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. It's the 13th of July, 2026. It's 10:15 in the morning, and I'm up here on the land. Just arrived, parked the van, been to a garage en route to see about my van, which is still in limp mode, and they said bring it in on Monday, so I made the special effort to get there early, and then turned out they said yes, well, the thing is we need to do a proper diagnosis before we can do it and then try and do it that day, so could you bring it back not tomorrow but the next Tuesday? So I said, all right, okay, fair enough. So Julia's gone down to an appointment with one of her children to the hospital. It's a checkup thing, you know, how kids have these checkups from time to time. So she's not here at the moment, but she'll be here very soon. So we're supposed to be at the Weekend Truth Festival, which is in Wrexham. And we were supposed to be at the Mayfield event over the last weekend, but we couldn't make that because the van which we were going to sleep in either on the way up there and on the way back or just for a few hours or something was in limp mode, and I didn't want to drive on that hot day, which somebody said beforehand was going to be the hottest day of the year. And it was pretty hot, and who wants to be stuck on a motorway in a van that can only drive like a milk float? So we had to decline, unfortunately, and pull out. Bear with me as I have a glass of water here. So we're now debating what to do about the Weekend Truth Festival. We could probably go in Julia's car. It's a little Fiesta, and it's only up in Wrexham, so it's about 4 hours drive. Which isn't too bad, but Julia's never really driven her car for anything like that sort of distance. Normally I do the driving, but more than that, I don't know if the car will manage to do that. I mean, it'd be good for the car to do a proper long drive. And so I'm slightly nervous of breaking down, to be honest. And unlike the van, you can't stop and make cups of tea. Well, you could pack something up and do it from the side of the road. But that shouldn't really be the issue. I think there's some accommodation. I need to double check. So we may well do that. But we've got to bring stuff. And whether we can get it all in Julia's car or not is another matter. I've got so used to using the van, I suppose. But anyway, that's that's that. I'm recording this in the workshop. I recently put a bench up and sorry, what was that? That was a strange noise. I think that's just distant cows. I thought it was some weird animal noise. So I don't know if you heard that. Anyway, the point of me coming in here, It is actually cooler in here because it's another hot day, of course, here in Britain. I wanted to do a test recording, really, inside here. So the purpose of this, as well as doing the Naked Englishman, but the purpose of coming into the workshop and placing the microphone on a bench is I am in the process of writing, in between all the gardening and stuff that we're doing, I'm in the process of writing a book for my pipe smoking channel. But I thought rather than doing it as a book, I might do it as an audio book, as a printed book. I might print it afterwards, but there's an upfront cost. I don't want to put it on places like Amazon. I just don't want to, because I'm trying to be independent. And I've done that in the past with my previous books, as some wags have pointed out. They said, well, you had no qualms about doing it in the past, but that's before I really gave much attention to what these large corporations do for small businesses, i.e. rip them off, it seems to me, and take them over and, you know, all of that. So I don't want to get into all of that now, but you probably know my views on that sort of thing. And I want to fly a flag, if that's the right term, for the small business enterprise, for the one-man bands and the family outfits that take pride in what they do and treat their customers with respect as customers, because they rely on them and not as a number, as many of these too large for their own boots corporations and utility companies seem to do. So I wondered about recording my audio book in here. Now, I know you'll get ancillary sound effects. You might be hearing the wind, for example, and you might hear birds chirping from time to time. But rather than being outside, and you might, of course, hear aeroplanes going overhead, but rather than being outside and totally exposed, even if you screened off the microphone from the wind, I think one of the issues that you will always have when reading an audio book, and I have done that before, one for a client and one for myself, is that one blunders over the text, and then you have to edit out the blunders, the coughs, the clearing of the throat, the pauses, the misreading, the misinterpretation of a line, the wrong inflection, and all of that. And then you go back and you do it again, and you edit out all of that. And it's a time-consuming business. And you do it, of course, ordinarily in a very quiet studio or space, so that you do not hear the background noise change when you edit. But you might hear. But by recording it in here and then overlaying, or rather underlaying, a backdrop track, just subtly, of exterior sounds of the birds and all of that, uninterrupted for, say, half an hour, you could lay that in, and you probably then wouldn't hear the edits, so that you wouldn't be too distracted by the edits, because there's an underlining back sound effect, as it were. And I thought that might be just a different way of presenting it. So I thought I would test this, and then I can listen back to see if it's enough. It may be that the sound is too bouncing off the walls or whatever. And I would offer this to, obviously, my viewers, mostly the viewers of the pipe smoking channel that I do. I can't imagine many of the other viewers would be interested in my work, but you never know. They might be interested, having, if they have, enjoyed the Biggleswick book. And if that's successful, then maybe I could do the same with the Biggleswick book and record that in a similar way. It's just, again, it's different. And it's nice to be a bit different from everybody else, I think. It makes you a bit unique and stand out. Whether it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, it doesn't matter. It's just, I like to try, where possible, to be original. Obviously, it's very difficult to be completely original, because most things have already been thought of one way or another. But we put our own spin on it. It's what makes us individuals, of course. So, anyway, that was just an idea, and I'd be interested in your feedback. Now, I'm not going to do anything to this audio other than upload it as an MP3. And this is just being recorded on my Zoom. And of course, there is a far better apparatus out there that one could use to record. But I'd be interested to see if the quality of this, talking in the same modulated tone that I'm talking now, would be all right. One might, in the final edit, add a bit of compression and perhaps normalization to the audio. Now, some people may not know what the hell that means, but I know there'll be people like Nigel, who may well be listening, who will know exactly what I'm talking about. And that may just smooth over and make it a better listening experience. But some people may not even notice. It depends how you listen. Some people will be listening on their phones. Some people will obviously listen on laptops or through headphones, even on big loudspeakers in their apartment. And then, of course, it depends on the room you listen in. It can make all the difference to the experience. And it's very difficult to record for all contingencies. So it may well be that this is quite sufficient. And it depends on how interesting the book is, I suppose. And I would hope that not only is the text of some interest to those people who smoke pipes, but also the way that I would read it would add a certain level of interest. So that's what this is all about. I was listening to some audio recordings that I've done in the past where I've read my own work, and I was very pleased, actually. It's funny when you listen back to stuff that you've done in the past and you thought, nah, maybe it wasn't that good. And actually, years and years pass, and then you listen and you go, well, it's a lot better than I thought at the time. If only people had told me. Unless you are that confident in what you do, that it's okay. I guess when you work on your own, you don't have that level of confidence. If you worked at the BBC, you've got producers and managers and, you know, tiers of executives who would say whether it was up to spec or not. And if they were agreeing with it, you would have a sense of where you are on the acceptability scale, on the level of producing something of reasonable value scale. But when you work on your own, often you might be excelling yourself and be far better than anybody else, but you may not know. At the same time, you may be well below par and still not know. You may be below par and think you're really good. Or you may be above par or acceptable or adequate and not have a clue. And that is one of the problems. And of course, you can't ask friends and family because they'll inevitably say things like, oh, no, it's very good. It's very good. Yes, very impressed. And you don't know whether they're actually impressed or not. And because I work alone, you know, I have Julia, but I generally work on my own now. I guess I'm in that category where I haven't really worked out whether my material is of any good or not. And with things like The Naked Englishman, of course, there is no counter to see how many people listen or return to listen. So you just don't know. You just hope. And with The Naked Englishman, of course, it comes back to whether I enjoy doing it or not. So that's that. Anyway, I don't want to linger too long on this particular recording because having just got up here and parked up, and I thought, well, I'll get this out the way. Time is ticking on. The polytunnels are heating up and I need to water them. They are open, but I need to water them and get them all in a state. And then before it gets too hot is to work out what I'm doing today. There's various clearance works that needs to be done and some strimming. Despite the heat and lack of water, it's amazing how the non-crops are growing hugely and the crops are just sort of maintaining themselves. It's quite extraordinary how that works, although some of the non-crops, let's call them, are beginning now to wither a bit. But I guess there must be, at some depth, some water still underneath all of this earth and clay. But where it is, I don't know. Anyway, onwards and upwards. Thank you for listening. And it will be interesting. It's an interesting experiment to see if it will work. But I must crack on. Until the next time, goodbye.